Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Jeff Wicks, in his new book, or his recent book, The Shadow State, dealt with the Tembisa, the humongous Tembisa hospital capture, and which resulted in the assassination of Babita Diyakaran, who is financial manager of Gauteng Health. And he described the Gauteng Health Department as captured, thriving den of iniquity. Now, to deal with one aspect of it, and we will widen the discussion, I'm very happy to welcome Jack Bloom, the Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng, to talk about the most recent, perhaps almost incomprehensible action by Gauteng Health, and that's been in the provision, or rather the lack of provision, of cancer treatment. Jack, welcome to Sara Gone Rogue.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Jack, before we look at sort of the general state of Gauteng Health, what is the specific issue that the private sector, civil society, took to court regarding the provision of cancer treatment by the Gauteng Department of Health?
Well, the issue here is that an enormous sum of money, nearly 800 million rand, was set aside 3 years ago specifically to cut the backlog of radiation treatment for cancer patients, mostly at the Sharp and Cracker Johannesburg Hospital, because the radiation facilities had been damaged by fire. And there was a backlog list of between 2,000 and 3,000 patients who urgently needed radiation treatment. And you know, this is a case where the money was set aside over 3 years. The first year, there was 250 million rand set aside, with the recognition that the state facilities, weren't able to cope, that you'd, stitch up a deal with the private health sector and they would go to private facilities to get cancer treatment. So in the first year of this grant, the 250 million rand failed to be spent entirely. Can you imagine that a whole year, 250 million rand to spend to save lives of cancer patients? They didn't spend it, and it was returned to Treasury. The next year of the grant, there was a similar amount that was last year. They seem to have spent most of it on something. We're still getting the details of that. And this is the third year of the grant. But the reality is that we still don't know what has happened to that original backlog list and how many of those patients are now untreatable because so much time has passed, or may even have died. So civil society groups, Cancer Alliance, Section 27, Treatment Action Campaign, they've been trying to deal with the Gauteng Health Department. You would think that the department would actually welcome the involvement of civil society in resolving issues and getting treatment to cancer patients, but they were blocked at every stage, so they went to court. I think it's just crazy that they had to go to court. It does remind me of Life of Sedi Meni, where there were similarly court cases before the tragedy. So they went to court to get the details of this backlog list, what the department was doing to in current treatment of cancer patients, whether they had a decent deal with the private sector, and whether things were moving. So they won a landmark judgment on the 27th of March this year, and the judgment was the judge was scathing. So it was unlawful and unconstitutional, and he had ordered 45 days. The department had to give a report and explain what was happening with the backlog list. Anyway, the department appealed against that. In the meantime, they thought that their appeal sort of suspended what the judge has said about the backlog list and providing reports. So the Treatment Action Campaign and SIG 27 Cancer Alliance went back to the court and said, hey, they still haven't provided this report that was provided for. It's not, it's not done away with because they've appealed against the broader judgment. And again, this was last month, the judge ruled in their favor and said that the department has to provide this report and what they're doing to provide urgent radiation treatment. And so the upshot of this is that now the department's appealing against that. And I mean, it's just being absolutely obstructive. And they're spending huge amounts of money on legal fees and delaying tactics. I mean, you'd call this lawfare, actually. Mm. And meanwhile, you know, people are dying out there. And it is another life of Sedimeni, with this one strange twist, is that the apparent motivation for life of Sedimeni moving mental health patients to, you know, illegal NGOs, where more than 140 of them died, was that they didn't have the budget, that they were saving money. That's what they had to do. But in this case, they actually had the budget and didn't manage to spend it. So, I mean, it's a scandal on many levels, both moral and just plain bungling and inefficiency. And people's lives are being lost because of this.
And what has Pinyaza Lusufi, the Gauteng Premier's response been to this? Because I know you've called for the removal of the health MEC and the department head. What's he doing?
Well, you know, he's been studiously silent about this. I would have thought that with the adverse court judgment saying that what the department was doing was costing lives and unlawful and unconstitutional, he would actually remove them if they didn't resign. So there was absolute silence until I asked a question in the Gauteng legislature for oral reply, and he can't duck that. And some months ago, I got him to apologize. He actually did. He said, I give my apology. So, but that apology wouldn't have come unless he was confronted at a sitting of the Gauteng legislature. And then more recently, I asked him about this court judgment and why he hadn't taken action against them. And, you know, the normal stalling and the judgments on appeal, and he's said he's arranged for mediation between the civil society groups and the department, and he will await the outcome of this mediation. So it's all a big delaying tactic. The reality is that he's not able to remove his health MEC. It's internal battles of the ANC. She has a lot of power there. And the head of the department there, who of the Gauteng Health Department, who amazingly is actually being investigated by the SIU for allegedly receiving bribe of up to 10 million rand for influencing tenders. Now I asked the Premier previously, how can you appoint as head of the department, you know, a department that's notorious for scandal, actually, someone who himself is being investigated by the SIU? And the Premier said, no, it's we haven't had a final report. And when he gets a final report, so I think the whole thing's disgusting. It shows me that there's bigger forces at work. Mm. There's massive political protection. I think it goes very high indeed. Because I actually think the Premier at one stage did want to remove the head of department. He announced that he was reshuffling various heads of department. Then suddenly he said that the lifestyle audit of this particular head of department was being extended while they looked for extra information, which is all very fishy. So from what comes out of Jeff Wicks's book and his whole investigation is that they're big mafia-style groups and corruption networks, and the stakes are so high that they're prepared to murder. Mm. And I think that nothing much has changed at the Gauteng Health Department. I said in the legislature last year that actually Babita Deokaran was still alive in the Gauteng Health Department, should be silenced all over again, because I don't think there's been a fundamental change. Jeff Wicks documents how they obstructed the investigation. Mm. And in fact, if it wasn't for Jeff Wicks's investigation, I mean, we wouldn't have known anything of this. It would have all been swept under the carpet.
Mm. No, and I see that one of the people who features amongst the few very fortunate recipients of what I suppose we almost call an inhuman propensity for greed and corruption is Vusimusi Kat Matlala. So, you know, that's a name that people now know. That also, there's in some way a question mark around Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi, who's revelations in public are now form the basis of a commission of inquiry, but it seems that the department would literally have to be in the hands of a completely separate and competent political party in order to change this. It is literally nothing happens positively, and nothing and everything happens negatively in the health sector as a source of corruption without the Department of Health's imprimatur, or worse. What does this speak to the ability to even consider something as grotesquely ambitious as the National Health Insurance?
Well, absolutely. You know, as I say, the corruption starts at the, you know, the fish rots from the head down, and the corruption starts at the top. So let's just look at the scale of what was happening just at one hospital. You know, Tembisa Hospital is not the largest hospital. It's a mid-level hospital. But the SIU has found that over a three-year period, you know, about 2.5 billion rand, that's real money, 2.5 billion rand was irregularly spent. And we see from the contracts that Jeff Wicks uncovered, it was things like 5,000 rand for leather armchairs. That's 5,000 rand a chair. I don't know why they needed such fancy armchairs. But I went and visited the hospital, and they weren't even delivered. So I think they were just fake goods, and of course the notorious skinny jeans.
Oh yes, of course.
It was all a laundering operation, and there was sort of had to be massive collusion in this. The CEO of the hospital was suspended, and as usual, there was a very long running disciplinary case. You know, that's how they do it. He was paid all the time, while this disciplinary case dragged on, and then he died. So we'll never know what might have been the outcome of that disciplinary case, if it ever finished, because what happened in the case of the other disciplinary case against the chief financial officer. Now, this was the chief financial officer that Babita Deokaran had already signaled that an inquiry was needed at Tembisa Hospital. She had requested that the payments been stopped. The payments weren't stopped. They went ahead, and there was no full-scale inquiry, and there was all going to be covered up. So this chief financial officer was a key culprit. She was allowed to stay in office for like another 2 years with full pay, and shortly before her disciplinary inquiry was about to begin, she resigned, and she was allowed to resign. I mean, this is happening too often in the civil service, that people under investigation are allowed to resign. And, you know, we still need to see criminal charges, not just a matter of having disciplinary procedures and eventually coming to a decision one way or another. They have caught some smaller fish at the hospital, officials at Tembisa Hospital, but the big fish, I think, are protected. And, you know, can you just imagine being on full pay for up to 2 years? And then, you know, you make your exit as soon as things start getting serious. So look, we see obstruction at every step of the way. And until there is change at the very top, which I don't think the ruling party is able to take, I think you're absolutely correct, to have the sort of root and branch change that's needed at the department, you need another political party in control. And you would have to root out cadres all over the place, because, you know, political interference is rife. And of course, as you mentioned, the National Health Insurance scheme, well, if you want to replicate it on a vastly bigger scale, and imagine, you know, how much money would be flowing through an NHI, what a whistleblower that I've dealt with a long time on Gauteng health corruption matters actually said to me, she said, "Oh, don't you understand, the NHI is referred to in the ANC as the Last Supper." So they will feast on in their, because I think they know their time is sort of coming to an end. So I think actually, I don't think corruption has actually got you know, eased off. You would think with all these investigations, people are actually a little worried, but they're not. I think they're stepping up the pace, because they think, well, maybe at the next election things change and we won't have opportunities. Let's lock in now. So the fact that the ANC is still madly pursuing the NHI, even though there's court cases against it, we have a GNU, you'd think they'd have every excuse to say, okay, no, we'll back off it, we'll renegotiate it, there's find a, you know, speak with business and see how we can you know, achieve the same objectives in a different way. They're not backing off at all. And it just shows you that there's sort of greedy interests there, because I think just the scale of I call it the immorality involved, or the unscrupulousness involved. You know, there was 1.9 billion rand was released during the COVID-19 epidemic, and people were dying. It was a stress time and everything, and it was for PPE. It was to refurbish hospitals, build new wards, you know, all sorts of things that, you know, were required at the time. And I just about every penny of that was misdirected and stolen, and in the middle of an epidemic, and people are dying, and you need, you know, personal protective equipment, and people are selling, you know, grossly overpriced masks and gloves and things like that. So I mean, you know, how evil, I have to say, do you have to be that to steal money meant to save lives? And we talk about huge sums, 1.9 billion rand. There's a hospital in the West Rand, Anglo Shanty Hospital, has spent half a billion on it. Can you believe it? 500 million rand. And of course, investigations don't seem to go anywhere. I think they have they've made a special art out of protected investigations that never go anywhere. And even if they do make a recommendation, you go to the NPA, and then, you know, nothing happens there. If I might go back to when the Gauteng Health Department really went off the rails, it was under an MEC called Brian Klongwa.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say how long ago that was. I mean, he was appointed around about 2007, 2008. That's when he was appointed. And there was all sorts of, he had to resign in scandal. There was this issue, he bought a 7 million rand house, and you know, and there was scandal with about where he got the money. Do you know that still hasn't come to court? I mean, I actually can't believe it, that after this was all uncovered and he had to resign and various people left the department, it's sort of more than 15 years later, that case has yet to come to court. And these cases are deliberately botched. I think that's really what we have to acknowledge when you see anything that the NPA does. If they will drag their heels, they will deliberately put in something that will mess up the case. And, you know, the longer you drag out these cases, witnesses die, evidence may be lost, and we know how it works. And here is a case of corruption in the Gauteng Health Department where massive amounts involved, also about 1 to 2 billion rand. Imagine stealing money from sick people, because that's actually what you're actually doing. And so no real consequence for corruption that happened at the Gauteng Health Department more than 15 years ago. And, you know, are we really going to see true justice now? Because ultimately we have to get the mastermind behind Babita Deokaran's murder, because Jeff Wicks also talks about how they sort of botched that that investigation. So they got the people who actually, you know, pulled the triggers. And that, but to who gave them the order? And it is pointing in a certain direction, but
it hasn't got
are we, you know, do we have the institutions, the political will, and the capacity to actually, you know, follow this investigation to its logical conclusion?
Right. Well, the Gauteng Health Department is essentially the Eskom of health, with an added dimension, I think, of complete inhumanity. Jack, thank you very much for joining us.